Yivamas Perek Yud Aleph Mishnah. Hey, we are still in the mixed up baby sugya of Masechta Yivamas. Kohenes Shinas Arev Lada Bivlad Shevchasa. The baby of a wife of a Kohen gets confused with the baby of her slave. So we don't know which child is born a Kohen and which child was born an actual Eved. So Hare Elu Ochlam Mitruma. Both babies are allowed to eat Truma because a Kohen and a Kohen slaves can eat Truma. They can receive one portion at what they call the threshing floor. That's where truma is customarily given out to Kohanim. So they can only receive their portion of truma together at the threshing floor if they come together. If they go separately, the problem is we don't know which one is the slave, and a slave's only allowed to get truma when the master is there so that people realize he's a slave and not a regular Kohen. That way nobody will marry him. So because a slave can only get truma with the master, so the two of them have to be there together in order to get their truma. Neither one's allowed to be contaminated to a dead person, because what if this kid is a Kohen? He can't become Tamei Lemeis. Ve'nosin Nashim, they can't marry women. Bank Sheros, if they are kosher women who could marry Kohanim. Ve'im Psulos, or Pusel women who could marry a slave. And the problem is, if he's a Kohen, he can't marry somebody a slave could marry, for example, a Shivcha. If he is a slave, then he can't marry a kosher Jewish woman. As a result, he can't marry anybody. Higdilu ataharovos, once the uncertain boys grow up, v'shichruchu zeh ezeh, each one gives each other a shtar shichur, a bill of freedom, so that whichever one is the master and whichever one is the slave, both of them are free. And the Gemara says they have to do this because otherwise they won't be able to marry and fulfill the mitzvah of fathering children. Peru revu. Nosin, then they can marry because once an eved is freed, he becomes a ger. Nashim ruyos lekohuna, but they can only marry women that are fit to marry a kohen. They weren't divorced, they weren't a zona, they weren't a chalala. They still cannot contaminate themselves tamei meis because neither one knows which one's a real kohen. Vim nitamu, if they did, ein sofkin es ahor boyim, they don't get malchus because we don't know for sure this is a kohen. They then can't eat truma because one of them is a kohen, but one of them is a freed slave who is no longer property of a kohen, so he can't eat truma. If they did, however, eat truma, they don't pay the usual fee that a zar, a non-kohen, has to pay, which is the principle of the truma plus an additional one-fifth payment, because we can't prove that this is the slave or the non-kohen who would have to pay. Not only that, they don't have to pay the principal either, because we can't prove that it wasn't a Kohen who ate it. If he's a Kohen, he doesn't have to pay for the principal. Since Hamotzi Machavero, all of Araya, you have to have proof to take money away from the guy. We have no proof that this is not a Kohen, so we can't make him pay. If Einon Cholkin Alagorim, but they can't go to the threshing floor to get their Truma portion, because although one of them is definitely a Kohen, one of them is definitely not a Kohen, so they don't get the Truma, because that will lead them to eat it, and we don't want them to, L'chachilo. Each one can sell the truma from any produce grown in a field that he owns and doesn't have to give it to a kohen, because this guy, maybe he's a kohen. He doesn't have to give truma to a kohen. He could eat it himself, but he can't eat the truma because maybe he's not the kohen. So he can sell it and keep the money. They don't get a chelek in kodshim, the sacred objects from the Beis HaMikdash. For example, the hides of the animals, Oron, which are offered as korbanos, are given to families of Kohanim. These guys are not definitely Kohanim, so they can't get a percentage of the skin of the animal. Ve'nosan lahem kachim, we don't give them kachim, sacrifices that you're going to bring at the Beis HaMikdash, because a Zara, a non-Kohan, can't bring a korban. A different explanation given in the Rishonim is that a Bechor has to go to a Kohen, but these guys can't get a Bechor because we don't know if he's a Kohen or not. But what is theirs, we don't take from them. So if they have a Bechor animal, they don't have to give it to a Kohen, because only non-Kohanim have to give up the Bechor. Which one of them is a non-Kohen, we don't know, so they keep it until it gets a Mum, and then it's theirs. Normally, when a Ben Yisrael shechts an animal, he has to give certain portions to the Kohen, the Matnas Kohuna, the Zeroa, the right foreleg, the right front leg, the jaws, the cheeks, and the stomach. Those don't have to be into a Kohen because they might be the Kohen, and then they don't have to give Matnas Kohuna. Uvacharo yehei roe. And as we said before, if he has a firstborn animal, then it should be left to pasture ad sheyistayev, until it gets a mum. And then once it gets a mum, then he's allowed to keep it. This is not intentionally making a mum in the behemoth. This is allowing the behemoth to get the mum itself. Then he can keep it and eat it himself, because we can't prove that it doesn't belong to him, since maybe he's a kohen. And whatever chumros belong to a kohen, as we have seen about Tamei Meis, we apply to both of these guys. Either one might be the kohen. And the chumros of a non-kohen also go to them. And we've seen that in our Mishnah as well. Some people say this also applies to the Karban Mincha, where the Kohen gets to eat part of the Mincha, and yet when a Kohen himself brings the Mincha, the whole Mincha goes up onto the Mizbeach. And so we're Machmir in both ways. We apply the stringency applying to a non-Kohen, there's a Kemitza, and yet at the remainder, the Chumros of a Kohanim, of the mincha where the whole thing gets burnt, we put that in as well. So the whole carbon mincha has to be lit on fire. Mishnah Vav. This time, we don't have a mixed up baby. We have a mixed up situation with who's the father of the baby. Misha lo shasa achar baylo shlosha chadashim. A woman got divorced or widowed from her husband, and she did not wait the usual required 3 months. Benises, she got married too soon, Vyolda, and then she gave birth, she found out she was pregnant. The question is, Ve'en Yadua in Bentisha L'Rishon, is this a full-term baby from the first marriage? In Ben Shiva L'Achron, but is it a 7-month child from the second marriage? If she gets married 2 months later, the baby might be premature, the baby might be full-term, we don't know which one. The Gemara and the Mishnah usually assume that an 8-month baby is not viable, so it's only 7 or 9 are the choices we give. If, let's say, she had a son from the first husband, and later had a second son by the second husband, and then the questionable baby dies, we don't know whose baby it is, those other brothers would perform chalitza with the widow of the middle brother, because we don't know which one is their paternal brother. If this is a baby of the first husband, then the first oldest son is going to be his brother from a father. If this baby was conceived by the second husband, then the younger brother is his brother from a father. Because we don't know, we make them both do chalitza, because somewhere here there's a zika, there's a yibum requirement. And to get rid of that, we do chalitza with both. That way, because we also don't want to have an erva, somebody is not allowed to marry his maternal brother's wife. Eishes achiv is aser, and that's not a yibum case. V'chein also, hu lohem choletz v'lo miyabim. If either brother dies, then this middle kid can be a choletz for either one, because we don't know which one is his paternal brother, which one is his maternal brother, so he can do chalitza for them, but not yibum, because we don't know who he's really related to. If there are brothers from the fathers, not from this mother, who is his, but other paternal brothers, who choletz umiyabem, he can perform either chalitza or yibum to widows. So in this situation, his mother didn't have any other sons except him, who might be a 7-month baby from the second marriage or a 9-month baby from the first marriage. So in this case, the father, the first father from the first marriage, had another son by a different wife, and the second father from the second marriage also had a son from a different wife. The only possible relationship with these other sons is paternal. So clearly, he is a miyabim for one of them. So who choletz miyabim? He can perform either chalitza or yibum. If he's the only brother there, then if he's performing chalitza or yibum for the right woman, good, he's doing a mitzvah. If there was no other brother, then there was no chalitza or yibum required for that widow, if you get where I'm coming from. And so as a result, his chalitza or yibum really is a non-action. His yibum is just a new kiddushin. His chalitza is really not required. It's just spinning in front of a shoe, because there were no brothers to perform chalitza in this case that we are laying out. Behem echad choletz ve'echad miyabim. And if he, the middle brother, is the one who dies, then both brothers have to do something, depending on, we don't know whose father was his father. So one has to perform chalitza, And once one does chalitza, the other one can do either chalitza or yibum. Echad miyabe means he could choose to do yibum, because either way, either the brother doing chalitza or yibum is the proper brother, so he has a choice, or the first brother who did chalitza was the real brother, and so this guy is just an outsider doing chalitza or yibum. If he marries her, it's just a regular marriage. So in cases of this kind of suffix, we have to try to cover all our bases to make sure that nobody ends up where they're not supposed to end up.